Burnham, I know what the TV said was lies. You gotta look at it through open eyes. Oklahoma City was a crime. Once again, the TV lies. Ones who said they were that I have were the ones who really caused all that hate. Now let's talk about 911. The whole damn thing was government run. Building 7 hit the ground. Didn't know fire knock that building down.
Welcome once again to another edition of American Exposé. Listeners, it's the Friday edition, and it's the, what is it, the 16th of December, 2005. How long is the insanity going to last? How long can we continue to do what we're doing to expect tomorrow to be the same as yesterday as things progress the way they are? And that is my concern, has been my concern for a long time. This is why I do what I do, and others are doing it too. Don't forget, starting Monday, Brett Folks' State of Nations starts at 2 p.m. Central on Monday on First Amendment Radio. A big piece of insanity, as I see it, comes from Darren. Abolishing slavery or abolishing slavery as a question. And he learned from the United Nations website that December 2nd was the International Day for Abolition of Slavery. And he didn't notice it. I didn't notice it. You didn't notice it. I'm positive none of you noticed it. The International Day for the Abolition of Slavery, people. And he was too busy trying to stop the slavery that the United Nations themselves is trying to impose on us. And that is his opinion, his learned opinion. Sustainable development is the UN term for population control. Coming from Darren, not me. He does his research, I do my research, others do theirs. But we all come up with the same conclusion. That's why we're so concerned about it. He says it's all-encompassing and it's global, as it is. When it's fully implemented, everything you do will be regulated, and no one will be able to do anything until the environmental consequences of such an action is considered, including people driving your car, where your animals go to the bathroom. Where your animals go to the bathroom. We're all animals going to the bathroom, aren't we? In the UN's eyes, the Global Fire Monitoring Center is another indicator to keep in mind, too, that never gets any publicity. To the behest of the UN system, they're happy that's the way it is. According to Darren, Chapter 8 of Agenda 21 addresses integrating environment and development in decision-making. And it says, quote, the primary need is to integrate environmental and developmental decision-making processes. To do this, governments should conduct a national review and, where appropriate, improve the processes of decision-making so as to achieve the progressive integration of economic, social, and environmental issues in the pursuit of development that is economically efficient, socially equitable, and responsible, and environmentally sound, end quote. Now, that is totalitarian. That is a totalitarian statement. Decision-making is a totalitarian statement for control. Developmental decision-making processes is a totalitarian statement. And once again, according to Darren, if the globalists have their way, no developmental decision will be made without considering the environmental consequences. It is for this reason we have the redevelopment of our cities underway. Part of the redevelopment or implementation of sustainable development is smart growth. And the idea behind smart growth is that we humans are spreading out into the rural areas too much and that we need to stop it. And they call it urban sprawl. The pointy-head academics at many of America's universities, coupled with the socialists at the United Nations, contend that there are a lot of endangered plants in the countryside. How on earth they ever make such a determination beyond this winter, this writer's ability to discern, meaning Darren, just because they can't find a plant does not mean it's endangered. And why should we be considered or concerned about endangered plants? Would we even miss these plants if they disappeared? But that's just the beginning. In addition to the plants, they also say there are a lot of little furry creatures and bugs in rural areas. This is a very disturbing discovery. If furry creatures and bugs exist in rural areas, we humans might disturb those also. In fact, these brilliant scholars, quote-unquote brilliant scholars, say that we are already endangering them. Can it be true that if we make too much noise in the countryside, the furry little creatures might not be able to consummate their relationships? And that's what we're told. certainly we humans wouldn't want to interfere with the sex life of the Alabama beach mouse. No, sir. Therefore, we cannot live in the rural areas anymore. There goes your house in the country. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, there are 1,272 threatened or endangered plants and animals in the United States. That number jumps to 1,868 worldwide. God help you if one of those are found on your property. So cities must begin building up rather than out. Human development must be moved to the next level. Thoughts of the Jeffersons theme song come to mind. We're moving on up. Your neighbors will live on top of you, literally. Workplaces will be built within walking distances of where you live. This is because they want you to quit driving your automobile. Yep, it's evil too. According to the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, every time you climb behind the wheel of that gas-guzzling SUV, you cause global warming. There is no end to the damage that global warming causes on those little fuzzy plants and animals in the countryside. Things that are supposed to be hot turn cold. Things that are supposed to be cold turn hot. Never mind that none of this has ever been proven. Full speed ahead. So the well-being of the big-eared bat or the Colombian white-tailed deer are to be put ahead of that of human beings. The animals have had their day in court and have won. And really, having a day in court anymore, listeners, is very, very dangerous for our well-being. The courts have been internationalized. They work with the UN Charter. That is the law of the land. This is why Judge Mariana Fowler overturned Proposition 187 in California. No medical benefits for illegal aliens. The people of California voted unanimously for that to pass, and Judge Mariana Fowler overturned it. Any other initiatives coming down the pike for illegal immigration will be overturned by a federal judge. It's guaranteed. One approach to smart growth is new urbanism. The new urbanist movement is certainly nothing new. In fact, most of the UN population control measures are just rehashed ideas from the past. They simply change the names and attempt to implement the failed policies of yesteryear. Today, however, they are changing the landscape of America. According to town planners Andres Dunay and Elizabeth Platter Zyberk, there are 13 principles which are defining elements of new urbanism. If you see these in your community, it's part of the implementation of sustainable development, which, people, is the code word for Agenda 21 as I see it. Number one, the neighborhood has a discernible center. This is often a square or a green and sometimes a busy or memorable street corner. A transit stop would be located at this center. Most of the dwellings are within, and this is number two, a five-minute walk to the center, on average of roughly 2,000 feet. Number three, there are a variety of dwelling types, usually houses, row houses, and apartments, so that younger and older people, singles and families, the poor and the wealthy may find places to live. Number four, at the edge of the neighborhood, there are shops and offices of sufficiently varied types to supply the weekly needs of a household. Number five, a small ancillary building or garage apartment is permitted within the backyard of each house. It may be used as a rental unit or a place to work. For example, office or craft workshop. Number six, an elementary school is close enough so that most children can walk from their home. Number seven, there are small playgrounds accessible to every dwelling, not more than a tenth of a mile away. Number eight, streets within the neighborhood form a connected network which disperses traffic by providing a variety of pedestrian and vehicular routes to any destination. Number nine, the streets are relatively narrow and shaded by rows of trees. This slow traffic creation an environment suitable for pedestrians and bicycles. Number 10, buildings in the neighborhood center are placed close to the street, creating a well-defined outdoor room. Number 11, parking lots and garage doors rarely front the street. Parking is regulated to the rear of buildings, usually accessed by alleys. Number 12, certain prominent sites at the termination of street vistas or in the neighborhood center are reserved for civic buildings. These provide sites for community meetings, education, and religious or cultural activities. Number 13, the neighborhood is organized to be self-governing. A formal association debates and decides matters of maintenance, security, and physical change. Taxation is the responsibility of the larger community. Sustainable development is the curtailment of all human liberty. In other words, it's slavery. It is the United Nations effort at controlling all life on planet Earth. Ignorance of the agenda, as well as characterizing those of us exposing it as conspiracy nuts, won't stop the plan. Only educating yourself and others and getting active where you live well. And December 2nd was the International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. And there is the setup in place, people. There is the mess that we live today. And this is the deception we live all the time. Open up the broadcast with Tim tonight. He has a lot of talent that needs to be exposed. And I'm doing my best to do so. As I was with Brett last night on the broadcast from the Times, or the Sunday Times, dated December 11th, Putin banishes rain on his G8 parade. You ought to hear it all, because Russia's going to host the G8 summit. This is a first for Russia. Russia is very prominent in the picture and place, although it receives no publicity of that fact. That should alert you just of the danger as well. So the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, is leaving little to chance as he prepares to host the G8 summit of world leaders next year. Plans are already being discussed to send special planes aloft to seed the clouds, an old Soviet trick, and ensure good weather. There is little he can do, however, to manage the storm being whipped up in America by critics who say Russian human rights abuses should disqualify it from the exclusive club of top industrial powers. Well, that's not what the UN system was set up for. The UN system was set up to give Russia prominence from the very, very beginning. on top of the Security Council of the UN system. Keep in mind, this is a summer gathering at Peter the Great's palace in St. Petersburg. And as I said, it marked will mark the first time Russia has hosted a G8 summit. And so Putin is overseeing the details. Whether or not ionizing clouds to make the rainfall actually works, Putin hopes to persuade his Western counterparts of its superhuman endowments in other departments. Russia's enormous reserves of oil and gas put it in a position to influence global prices, with a stability to stark contrast to the Arab oil-producing world. Russia has never seemed a more attractive ally, whatever the grumbles about human rights. If he can succeed in keeping the focus on that, Putin, who is 53 years old, will have affirmed Russia's status as a world power once more after the humiliating decline that followed the collapse of the Soviet Union 15 years ago. Humiliating decline, I see. According to Anatoly Golitsyn, that was a designed setup to put us to sleep. His critics in America want to spoil the show. A group of senators and congressmen from both Republicans and Democrats are calling for the St. Petersburg summit to be canceled and for Russia to be kicked out of the G8. Oh, I'm sure our ally communist China will love that. They complain that Russia, our Russian influence, is in the hands of an authoritarian former KGB agent who recently deplored the collapse of communism as the, quote, greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century, end quote. It doesn't matter who's in position of prominence in Russia. He's always going to play that game. He's always going to be a convinced communist, just like Mikhail Gorbachev, who spoke at Kansas State University, and we heard a portion of that speech, thanks to Brett Folks, listeners. Opponents have been particularly angered by a bill he has been promoting under which human rights monitors and other foreign groups should be barred from the country. Well, naturally, the UN system is a pawn for the Russians. The UN system is a pawn for the State Department. The State Department was probably infiltrated by Soviets in the 1930s. Quote, Putin's Russia has continued to move backwards and sees any organization out of government control as a threat, end quote, said Tom Lantos, a Democrat congressman from California who supports proposed legislation to remove Russia from the G8. Quote, it does not deserve its participation in meetings with democratic and industrially developed G7 countries, end quote. Well, I'll tell you what. Communist China is the real totalitarian butcher of the world. Soviet Russia was the real totalitarian butcher of the world, mass murdering millions of people. They are the originators of terrorism. Reverend Leslie Millen lived in free China when it turned to communist China. Reverend Leslie Millen in 1965 spoke about it. Reverend Leslie Millen lived it, was tortured. Torture is an art for the Orientals, for the Middle Easterners. Torture is an art. Torture has been brought on our shores as a result of the reorganization of our government and Homeland Security. What is torture for but to terrorize, to make you say what you're supposed to say, whether you committed the crime or not? Does not matter. back to this article, the Russians are just as happy to accuse America of human rights abuses over Iraq. But in the run-up to the summit, Putin, a judo black belt, wants to avoid another punch-up. He knows he is vulnerable over Russia's democratic deficit. He makes no secret of his admiration for the Iron Felix Dzerzhinsky, the ruthless founder of the Soviet Secret Service, or Secret Police, and he shows some of the same passion for secrecy. Well, as it concludes, the only pictures of his two daughters that have ever been published were taken more than a decade ago. In those days, there were the markings of a free press. Putin has since crushed opposition in the media, parliament, and regions, and he is widely accused of sanctioning war crimes in the breakaway republic of Chechnya. What in the world is a breakaway republic, people? Just like the People's Republic of China. There's no such thing as the People's Republic of China. It's the totalitarian communist China, is what they should call it. Totalitarian communist China. Because that's exactly what it is. Totalitarianism. Totalitarianism. So we hear from the Associated Press on December 14th, the House easily approved renewing a modified USA Patriot Act on Wednesday. But with the bill facing a Senate filibuster, its Republican leader began talks with the White House on instead extending the current law unchanged for a year. Ever read the Patriot Act? The House voted 251 to 174 to approve a House-Senate compromise that would modify and make permanent most of the Patriot Act's 16 expiring provisions. But a group of Republican and Democratic senators is lobbying for more time to add additional safeguards on the law. Safeguards? Safeguards for whom, I ask. President Bush, which is just another president in the line of sellouts to our country, dictators under a democratic government, urged against any delay in Senate action. Quote, the Patriot Act is essential to fighting the war on terror and preventing our enemies from striking America again, end quote. Now, listeners, when we read the statement that we're terrorists, I'm a terrorist, common law courts, constitutionalists, it doesn't make sense, does it? Also, according to Bush's statement, quote, in the war on terror, we cannot afford to be without this law for a single moment. Uh-huh. I see. Absolutely insane, people. We're about to hit a commercial pause. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Stay with me.
Listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Yeah.
appropriate for tonight and every night. They say it the way it should be said. That's Poker Face and Tim Revere. According to Representative Rick Keller, Republican of Florida, he says renewing the Patriot Act before it expires in December is literally a matter of life and death. I see. Did the Patriot Act have anything to do with the storms that came south of us to destroy cities and communities, to relocate populations? 1 million people were evacuated from Louisiana, listeners. What happened to all those people? Where did they go? Is there any accounting for 1 million people? How many returned? Where were they relocated to? And how many were put in the new military bases that have been realigned under BRAC, which is on the website AmericanExpose.com, BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. Renewing the Patriot Act before it expires in December is literally a matter of life and death. But the bill's opponents say the original Patriot Act was rushed into law, and Congress should take more time now to make sure that the rights of innocent Americans are safeguarded before making 14 of the 16 expiring provisions permanent. And that is very, very true. This is insane. The life we live today is insane. We don't see it yet. But the atmosphere for the same kind of rioting that happened in France, the same kind of rioting that's going on in Australia, is going to happen here. And it's going to be set off. And it's going to be made to happen. Chaos is going to be made to continue. Order out of chaos is going to happen. Unless enough people understand the shenanigans and the scenarios that have been put upon us, listeners. The 20th century was the learning curve to where we're going in the 21st century. And this is the insane time that we live, and most people don't pay attention. Most people don't understand. Most aren't realizing what's going on. And that's the big problem. On December 1st, listeners, the deadline for the World Bank's Country Development Marketplace in the Philippines, also known as Panibangong, Paran, has been extended to December 20th. Running out of time. The theme of the May 2006 event is Development with Equity. It includes a focus on energy with support from many partners, including the Department of State and the USAID. Panibangong Paran includes a grant competition of up to $18,500 US dollars to implement innovative projects over a one-year period. Non-governmental organizations, community groups, public and private research institutions, and local governments are partnering with civil society groups are encouraged to apply. On November 1st, the World Bank Development Marketplace was offering $4 million in awards for local projects with innovative solutions improving access to clean water, safe sanitation, and reliable energy services in developing countries. What about water desalinization plants? I keep putting that into place. I keep bringing that up. Water desalinization plants, utilizing the ocean for positive purposes, for water, never brought into play. Non-governmental organizations, development agencies, private foundations, universities and schools, private sector groups, individuals, and local and municipal governments were encouraged to apply. The development marketplace focuses on small-scale development projects, and that will end May 8th through the 9th in 2006. In Washington, D.C., That's all fine and dandy. The UN system at work. But keep in mind, the development marketplace focuses on small-scale development projects. Water desalinization plants, that's too easy a solution, people. On October 21st, the Global Village Energy Partnership, the GVEP, and the Renewable Energy and Efficiency, that's the Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Partnership, the REEP, signed a formal agreement to work jointly to promote clean energy systems while leveraging each organization's delivery infrastructure. Both partnerships are designed to improve energy services to underserved populations in rural, peri-urban, and urban areas. On September 2nd of this year, public-private partnerships were at the core of a wide range of U.S. efforts to promote cleaner and more environmentally sound use of resources in ways that grow economies and create jobs. Well, that's kind of hard to understand. At the second International Experts Meeting on Sustainable Consumption and Production, U.S. government experts highlighted a number of innovative programs and activities. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Keep in mind Global Vision, which is a project of an international educational media campaign to promote the concept of sustainability as a global goal. Sustainability means using the Earth's resources to meet the needs of the present generation without violating the right of future generations to meet their own needs. And after all these years of that not happening, how can it happen in the future the way things are? And this project was being produced by the Global Vision Corporation, an independent nonprofit non-governmental organization founded in 1982, and they are accredited to the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development, the CSD, a network of governments and NGOs collaborating to implement Agenda 21, the 21st Century Sustainable Development Action Plan, agreed by 185 nations at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 92. The Global Vision Consulting is their related not-for-profit company, which provides advice to governments, NGOs, and the private sector on sustainable development issues. Their network of international partners includes UN agencies, governments, NGOs, think tanks, institutes, socially responsible corporations, professional associations, religious groups, universities, schools, students, and leading thinkers and activists working on solutions to global problems. Where do the global problems come from? The Security Council of the UN system, listeners? Wars. Wars. More wars. Environmental modification. Weather modification. Creation of earthquakes. Steering tornadoes. Hegelian dialectic in action. And in the meantime, the UN has a desire, a major desire, to control the internet. Very easy to become very, very disgusted with what's being done today. On December 15th, from the LA Times, suddenly it's open season on our national parks. Not on the animals, though the Interior Department did move last month to take the Yellowstone grizzly off the endangered species list. It's open season on the parks themselves. Representative Duncan Hunter, he's a Republican from El Cajon, that's in the San Diego area, has Santa Rosa Island in his crosshairs. He wants to strip it from Channel Islands National Park and give it to the military for special forces training and as a recreation spot for troops. This raises the question of how much relaxation soldiers and their families can get on an island where military types are crawling around in the brush. Environmentalists have become accustomed to fending off proposals to develop, drill on, or weaken protections for public land. Some push and pull is inevitable in places that have always been intended for mixed use, such as the National Forest or federal land run by the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM people. The BLM is designed to manage the land that you used to own, you used to be part of. We as a population had public land where we could enjoy it. And when I was starting my, I guess you could call it a career, I guess I considered it a career of off-road motorcycle riding and racing, the BLM was just coming into place in 1970, in 1969. But I saw the desert slowly but surely close over a period of 10 years. Just a sad, sad commentary about control, totalitarian control. The House recently passed an amendment to allow federal lands to be sold to anyone who holds or purchases an old mining claim. And I don't think that's a bad idea. And once mining is completed, that land would be in private hands and open to other development. Well, that might be a bad deal. The Nature Conservancy is involved in buying up land right now. Up for sale would be millions of acres of public land. Up for sale would be millions of acres of public land. There's the catch. Including acreage on national forests and parks. And that's where the Nature Conservancy and these other NGOs will buy up the land for the prince and his paupers. And as the Times has reported, California's national parks have more mining claims than anywhere else. Under heavy criticism, even from state Republicans, the amendment was withdrawn when it reached the House Senate Conference Committee. What started this stampede of private interest on public lands is the question. Perhaps it was a plan released last summer by the Interior Department. The plan would have declared grazing and mining as legitimate uses of national parks, pushed for more commercial development, and weakened protections at many levels. The administration eventually backed down, but it might have given ideas to members of Congress. At such times, it's worth remembering the Park Service's mission statement. Quote, the National Park Service preserves unimpaired the national and cultural resources and values of the national park system for the enjoyment, education, and inspiration of this and other and future generations. The Park Service cooperates with partners to extend the benefits of natural and cultural service resource conservation and outdoor recreation throughout this country and the world. End quote. Well, they carry weapons, listeners. The Park Service carries weapons today. They carry weapons, listeners. From the Union Tribune, dated the 14th, Nature Conservancy purchases 1,231 acres for $7 million. On a sunny Friday afternoon, Chris Besovac stepped out onto a golden grassy field and looked up into the sky. Quote, I think this is the first time I've been out here when there hasn't been a hawk flying around, end quote, he says. As a project manager for the Nature Conservancy, Basovac worked 3 years to help buy the land on which he stood. Yesterday, it was announced that the sale had finally gone through. $7 million for 1,231 acres known as the Davis Eagle Ranch. The Conservancy's purchase, which closed Friday, triples the size of the Ramona Grasslands Project, which is an effort to conserve a diverse wild habitat of Southern California. 200 years ago, much of the region consisted of a level grassy landscape, which is home to vernal pools, golden eagles, and the endangered arroyo toad, Stevens kangaroo rat, and San Diego fairy shrimp. Today, more than 90% of this habitat has disappeared, according to this information, listeners. The flat land is easy to grade, making it a prime target for builders. Well, I'll tell you what. It's been projected that millions more are going to migrate to America. The State Department is proud of the migration that they're implementing in America. The design is to dilute the country, to implement human rights treaties, to teach human rights treaties in schools. Forget about the Constitution. It's just a blank, blank piece of paper. And it's been that way for decades. There is the problem. Most of us haven't noticed this. Most of us don't think about these things. Most of us are kept in the dark because of the television and what we're reading in the newspapers. Also on December 14th, Mexican President Vicente Fox denounced as disgraceful and shameful a proposal to build a high-tech wall on the U.S.-Mexico border to stop illegal immigrants. Concerned about the huge numbers of illegal immigrants streaming across the border and warned it could be an entry point for terrorists, a U.S. lawmaker has proposed building two parallel steel and wire fences running from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific coast. But Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff has said a wall running the length of a border would cost too much. Cost too much? Why would he say it would cost too much when we spend billions of dollars in a Middle East mess, in an Afghanistan quagmire, in a totalitarian agenda, where pipelines are being built to the tune of billions of dollars, piping oil to China? Nothing costs too much to the Federal Reserve System that's in charge. And Mexico has expressed indignation at the idea. And when I was off the air in 2002, President Vicente Fox said, "My people coming to America are not illegal immigrants. They're migrants under human rights treaties." That's right. Migrants under human rights treaties. And he's correct, because the UN system's in place. The judges in every state are bound thereby. And Judge Mariana Fowler proved it in 1994. And if anything else happens about this vote of the American people to turn away illegal immigration, it will be turned down by another judge with another name in another area. So Vicente Fox said such extreme security measures would violate immigrants' rights. There it is, listeners. Right here. Such extreme security measures would violate immigrants' rights. Quote, "The disgraceful and shameful construction of walls, the increasing enforcement of security systems, and increasing violation of human rights and labor rights will not protect the economy of the United States," end quote, he said. Now, you've seen the movie Day After Tomorrow, haven't you? Maybe you haven't. It's all about a new ice age coming to America. And those that did survive the first onslaught of the freeze, at the end of the movie, were allowed to migrate to Mexico for their safety. And Mexico's debt was forgiven by our government to allow our people to migrate to Mexico. That's the Day After Tomorrow, listeners. weather modification, environmental modification. Don't fight your IRS battles. Expose the deception that we live today, listeners. Expose the implementation of environmental modification. Expose the implementation of ecoterrorism. Expose the UN wars that we participate in. It's not George Bush's war any more than it was Richard Nixon's war or Lyndon Johnson's war or Harry Truman's war. It was the State Department's UN war. And this is a statement that Vincente Fox said. And he again called for the easing of U.S. immigration laws to benefit millions of undocumented Mexican fruit pickers, waiters and janitors working north of the border, a complex bilateral issue that has at times stained relations with Washington. Quote, I hope that next year we finally get an immigration agreement, end quote. And he told this to immigrants crossing the border back to Mexico to spend the holidays with their families. That's President of Mexico, Vicente Fox. And does the fact that Vicente Fox is a president, is that any different than our president? Because we don't have a constitution anymore. It's been suspended. It's been put aside. Mexico doesn't have a constitution like what we had. And the point is, we still have our firearms rights. Because they haven't figured out how to take them away yet. If every woman carried a Derringer, if every woman carried a firearm, rapes would disappear. If everyone was armed, this would be the most peaceful society in history. Society is freer when society does not know who is armed. And that is the bottom line, people. Firearms are vital. Learn to shoot and protect your family and your country. Good night, and God bless you all. And thank you for listening.
And silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value.